Amen. I want to thank our brothers for leading us in our scripture reading and prayer and the Lord's table as we give back and singing the praises to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've come to that point to look at the word of Almighty God. We're looking at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and 14, where it reads, "Not that I have already obtained to all of this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do is forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you once again for another opportunity we have to be able to look at your word and to be able to learn from it, to allow it to minister to each and every one of our minds and our hearts, moving down into our hands, into our feet. Help us as we learn, and help us as we do, and help us as we strive to grow in you, and help us to want more and achieve more and look for more in 2024, Lord, as we strive to grow in every area of our life. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the blessings you shower upon us each and every day. And we just pray that we, as recipients of all of the mercies and grace and blessings that you shower upon us, that we might receive it with gladness, that we might recognize from whence our blessings flow, from where they come, and that we also might realize as we've received that it's important for us to give to others, give back to you. Bless us, guide, protect us, and keep us, Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is the second part of a series that I started on last week, looking at turning the page. Last week, we focused on that reflecting back, and today we're going to look at writing this new chapter. I started off on last week talking about life as a journey. All of us are on this journey, and obviously in this spiritual journey, there's a destination called heaven that I'm hoping every one of us wants to be at that same place, that we want to be recipients of this great reward of living this life in Christ, dying in Christ, and receiving the blessings of those that are in Christ. And so we looked at this journey and looked at our life as a new chapter. This is 2024. This is a new chapter. You know, whatever happened in the past, last week we talked about reflecting on God's grace, on God's goodness, that even in times of quietness, even through the God is always at work. He's always been working. He's continually working in our lives, whether we see it or understand it. And he's got a destination for us. And we'll look at that a little bit more on this morning. I want to first, as we're looking about going forward, look at this power of purposeful living. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." If you go back to the scripture we launched from, Philippians 3, I want you to look at verse 12 and 13 again. He says, "It's not that I've already obtained this. I haven't already arrived at my goals, but I'm pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me." I want you to think of that phrase again. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. In other words, God saw something in each and every one of us. Christ sees something in each and every one of us. He has a purpose for each and every one of us. And his purpose for us isn't fulfilled until we catch his vision. Until we recognize, look, it says he took hold of me. There's a purpose, a reason he took hold of me. There's a reason He put his hands on me. There's a reason he called me by his gospel. There's a reason that he has me now in this blessed, privileged place of now sitting in heavenly places, of being in the family of God. There's a reason for us to be here. And it's not just to check a box and say, I came on Sunday, or even I came on Sunday and Wednesday. It goes far beyond that. Keep coming though. Let me just say that right now. Let me make a little disclaimer here, all right? Keep coming, all right? I'm not saying don't come. I'm saying it's more than just that. That's part of it, but it's greater than that. He says, I'm pressing to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. In other words, Paul, in talking, the Lord had a purpose for him. The Lord had a mission for him. The Lord was sending him to go take this message to the Gentile world. And he had to go through it. I mean, he went through it. People took a vow that they would fast until they killed him. They stoned him. They picked up stones, stoned him, and they thought they killed him. He recovered. Guess what he did? He got back up. And he went right back to preaching to the same people that threw rocks and hurled rocks at him. He was continuing to be on the mission, even though his mission was tough, his mission was rough. His mission meant that every time he would speak, the thing about that they could take his life for the message he was preaching. And we got the same powerful message, but we don't have the same attacks that he had. They don't have the same threats that he had. And yet he opened his mouth . I'm being silent for a reason there. I'm gonna let you fill in the rest of that. He opened his mouth, and oftentimes we keep our mouth closed, and there's no fear of the same type of attacks. The most that we're going to get is a person look at us and go, oh, he's one of those fanatics. He's one of them Jesus freaks. He's one of those type or something. That's the most we're going to get. Or if you knock on someone's door, they're going to slam in your face or something. I mean, yeah, and those things hurt. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, it's not nothing in comparison to the things that he had to go through. He says, I'm pressing to take hold of that which Christ took hold on me. Well, look at Ephesians 2:10. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us to do in advance. God says, look, I'm saving you. I'm blessing you. I've recreated you. I've remade you. I've made you into a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, in order to fulfill my purposes, in order to do the work that I had already intended for you to do. And these works are good works that God has in advance for us to do, to continue to preach the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be that light in this dark world, to be a source of hope and inspiration, to be able to share the good news, the glad tidings of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be his representative and his ambassador. Sometimes we're going to be a little peculiar. Sometimes we're going to be a little weird to the world, that is. But yet we've got to stand on our mission and our very purpose that God created for us. Second, as we're looking at living for him, well, in order to do it, we've got to set some goals. And that's the beauty of this time of year. This time of year is an opportunity for us to say, you know what? Once again, whatever happened in the past, hey, the mess-ups, the mistakes, the failures, the hardships, the trials, the tribulations of 2023, I know there's some carryover, but I just want you to mentally say, you know what? That was that. It's over. It's a new day. It's a new opportunity. Now, just saying those things aren't always enough. Just resolving in your heart and mind often isn't enough. Sometimes we need to sit down and plan and organize and get a list together. And it starts out, you know, if you want to get to New York, right? And you know where you're starting from. You can, there's a thing called a GPS, right? And you punch in the coordinates. This is where I want to go, and this is where I am, and it gives you the direction all the way there, right? Where if and so that's how we have to look at this. Where are we trying to go? That's the objective, right? That's important to know. The second thing important to know is where you are, right? You go in the mall, you are here. That's the important part, you know, because now you can find out where you want to go in the store. See, some of y'all, that illustration helps out a lot more now, right? Especially with Christmas coming, just finishing up, right? But we've got to understand where we are. And so this is, first of all, an inventory opportunity for us. Take a look in the mirror. Lord, am I living up to your expectations for me? Lord, am I growing? Am I striving to do more? You know, I think if you've been in the body about 5 years, you know, you in year five, it ought to look a little different than year one, amen? Year 10 ought to look a little different than year five. So there ought to be a growth. And then, so this is an opportunity for us to say, well, hold on, am I developing? Am I growing? Am I advancing? Am I moving in you know, in the right direction? And once again, if not, it could go back to write this. Habakkuk 2:2-3 says, then replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of an end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it, for it will certainly come and will not delay. From this, we can get a few things. We've got to be specific. You ever heard of the SMART goals? SMART goals, all right? Specific, but measurable, right? Achievable, okay? R, realistic, and T. What was the last one? Time something. Time, okay. I just say time, all right? It takes time. These SMART goals, or just any goal, you know, it's got to be something, once again, that's achievable. It's something specific. This is where I'm going. I'm not kind of going around. I think I shared with you guys one time. My wife and I and the kids, we decided we were just going to go to New York. Where? We didn't know. We were just going to go. Where are we going to stay? I don't know. We'll find out when we get there, right? We did that. We took a trip and just decided, you know what, spur of the moment, let's go on up there. Now, what we didn't know was that when we got there, that the Democratic Convention was also there. Yeah, so a number of years ago. The Democratic National Convention was there, and we go, there's no place for us, there's no hotels. And the hotels that were available, well, they were a little bit out of our budget. And the other one, that was one extreme, and the other one we went into and went, when I saw the list that said hourly rates, I said, well, maybe we shouldn't be here. So we got back in the car and we started heading back. We drove around like hours, and one of our daughters got sick in the car. And I mean, it was just, oh, and I got in a car accident. It was just the worst experience. Why? We didn't have any clear plans. We just kind of went on the whim. We just, you know, and just hope that everything would work out. You know, when you hope that everything works out, usually, you know, there's some things you didn't plan for that kind of just come. So if you're looking for 2024 and trying to get to a certain place, you got to find out where you are and where you're going, and then try your very best. Impatient with God. Amen. But that time element is very important also. Practical steps. 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You know, I recognize that in my own growth that there was a process. You know, I came into the body of Jesus Christ, and I just wanted to know. I was really hungry for the word. And as I was hungry for the word, the word started doing something on me. I mean, it started changing me. You know, it's like food. If you have a good, I'm not going to make any bad things on food right now, because I got to, anyway. But it's like food. If you have a good, healthy diet, if you're eating healthy food, if you're continuing to put those things before you, what's going to happen? If I start eating salad, I'm just going to declare this right now. If I start eating more salads, less junk food, what's going to happen? Start exercising a little? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? I'm asking y'all. All right. I know it's obvious. I want to lose. You will lose weight. I'm going to get healthier. I'm going to get better, right? And that's the same thing with the Word of God. As I start eating, there's something that happens. As I start eating the Word of God, as I start feeding upon the Word of God, it starts to change how I see things, how I see the world around me, how I see God, my relationship with Him, my relationship with others, my purpose in this life. See, there are a lot of people walking around going, look, I'm just walking around with no purpose, right? Jesus saw that when He told His disciples, come look over me, and he showed them all of Jerusalem, and look at these people that are like sheep without a shepherd, right? And all of us have been at that place at some time, that we were like those sheep that were lost and just kind of going our own way until we found the shepherd of our souls, who now gives us direction and guidance and instruction that we so rightfully need in order to get us to that destination where we want to be. But how do we grow in that? Continue feeding on that word, eating that healthy diet. And then as you're eating that healthy diet, you know, there's some things that the Word of God. The Word of God is going to challenge us in some areas. And what do you do when the Word challenges you personally? Challenges you personally. When you see where we're walking in alignment, or the Word is just screaming at us about something, because I don't know. I think sometimes we do. I'd rather not read too much, Lord, because I don't really want to know too much, because I feel if I know too much, then I'm going to be accountable too much. Let me just stop. There's a phrase in the United States where it says, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Have you ever heard of that? Ignorance of the law is no excuse. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. Whether we want to bury our heads in the sand and pretend like we don't see, or I don't want to know, and hopefully I won't be accountable because I didn't read it and because I didn't really study it, it doesn't really matter. We're still going to be accountable to God for it. So why not strive to know? Why not strive to grow? Why not strive to do, you know? And I like the brother said the element of time once again. At time. Time, growth happens in time. But this thing about spiritual growth, you know, I mean, because, you know, we can eat and physically your body just be growing naturally and all of that. But spiritual growth has to be intentional. I can't just be hanging around with the saints and spiritually growing just because I'm hanging around with the saints. It has to be intentional. It's a personal thing. Right? We also grow together to, you know, as a community, but it's really a personal thing. Why? Because ultimately, you and I are going to have to stand before God individually, not just as one body. Individually, He's going to look at us and judge you and me. He's not just saying, well, that Green Bank Church of Christ did a pretty good thing. No, what of you, each of us individually are going to have to. And so we want to develop these spiritual practices, these spiritual steps in order to grow, so that we might be at that stage that God desires for us to be. How can we do that? You got to embrace the change. The change is so difficult. I mean, we're talking about, I know it dropped. We're talking about right now the resolution, New Year's resolutions. What is this? This is the time when whatever happened in the past, whoever I was in the past, whatever things I did in the past, I can decide to make a change. And what the Lord really wants us to make a change for is to put him front and center in our lives. There's this world that's out here that's trying to pull us and distract us and desire that we would follow after the ways of the world. And here's God giving us the option, telling us, look, I've got a desire for you. I've called you. I've laid my hands on you. I have a purpose for you. I have, you know, all these things for you. And the world is saying, hey, come on, man. Don't get boggled with the things of God. That's boring, right? You ever heard that? You know, I remember as a child, I mistakenly thought that, hey, I don't want to be a Christian, at least not now. I don't want to be a Christian now because I don't want to mess up my F-U-N. Fun. And yet somehow the devil made me believe that the partying and then the drinking and the doing this and going here and chasing after women and chasing after money and doing that, all those were the fun things. Going to church and talking about the Bible. Oh no. Isn't it amazing how, you know, how beautiful it is that God comes and shakes us up. And listen, this is what he had to do to me. I don't know about y'all, but he had to smack me up and say, what you doing, boy? and teach me some things that he couldn't have taught me, kind of going the easy route. But that's another story for another day. Look at Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, pleasing will. Don't be conformed to this world. Instead, allow the word to come in and transform our minds. That the more that we read, the more that we understand, the more that we know, you know, and you already know when I'm talking about this, I'm not just talking about head knowledge. I'm talking about learning in order to allow it to change us, to make us into, you know, and all of that. So it's not just academic stuff. I can tell you where all this stuff is. I'm saying I'm ingesting this so that it can nourish me, so that it can help me to grow, to be, so I can do. Amen? He says, don't be conformed to this world, but instead be transformed. Then you'll be able to know what's good. You know, how can I know what God's will is? You can't know what God's will is if you're not in the book. Listen, I'm going to say it again. You can't know what God's will is if... Don't listen to a preacher that said, well, God told me, and I had a dream this night, and this one, you know. No. He settled it already for us. It's already in his word. All right? This is all we're doing is discovering or rediscovering, you know, what God has already said. And now, and taking that and making application to our own lives. As we learn about God, it challenges us. As we learn about his holiness, it challenges us. As we learn about his likes and his dislikes, it challenges us. It should, at least. It should challenge us to desire to be more and to want to do more and to want to live in a greater way for him. So he says, how am I going to be able to test and approve what God's will is? How? Because I know the word. It's transforming me. The word of God is doing its intended purpose in my life. And now it's teaching me where I should go, what I should do, how I should live, et cetera, et cetera. All right? And then lastly here, embracing change and accountability. And this is always a challenging one. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. If you look at the book of Acts, chapter 2, and toward the end, we see the baptism of these 3,000 that came and submitted themselves. But then it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, in the fellowship, right? In the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Those four things. In other words, this was now a new habit that they took on. They left behind all that other stuff. They left behind Judaism. They left behind many of them family members and things of that nature, who had some of which had turned their backs on them because now you've become a Christian. And so they're leaving behind all of those things, and they're continuing in the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers in this community. All of that, they're continuing in these good things. And I want you to see something. There's an accountability that comes in place. Because if you continue reading, they were selling the lands and giving it to one another so that those who didn't have had. So that the community could be blessed by the community. So that each individual could be a participant in aiding the other brother or sister also. And in turn, we're sending good light to God also. In other words, what I'm saying is God brings us into a fellowship whether you like it or not. He's added you to the church. He doesn't add you as a saved, single body in your own. No, yes, you are the church individually, but you also are the church collectively. That's how God made it. God brought it so that we would all be brought into this family, dysfunctional from our viewpoint, not from his, but from our viewpoint, because we go, well, look, man, we got different colors, we got different languages, we have different education, we have different money, you have all these differences. And, you know, isn't it amazing how oftentimes we can look so much at differences, but when it really boils down to it, we're all more the same than we are different. But unfortunately, the differences are what kind of pops out. But what the Lord does is he brings us all into one body. And I believe when God's looking at us, he's not looking at the differences. He's looking at the commonality of the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us, that brought us into this family. And so for us, we need to recognize how beautiful, first of all, a body we have. This diverse body is beautiful. And yet, at the same time, there are challenges to a beautiful, diverse body, right? But all of that can be overcome once again as we once again look at God's mandate for us to carry one another's burdens, to be there to support and encourage one another. When one person is weak, somebody needs to be there to help pick them up. And we ought to be kind of looking at each other, looking for the areas of opportunities to support and encourage and help each other more in 2024. Yeah, that rhymes. Okay. Maybe there's somebody here today and, you know, you've been living aimlessly. I'm encouraging you, live purposely in 2024. Embrace change that's realigned with purpose, that you recognize God has placed his hands on you for a reason. And he desires to use you and engage in mutual support, commit to purposeful living. And if we do those things, we will grow more in 2024. Maybe you're here this morning and you're ready to make those steps, especially coming to the Lord. You know, one of the things that Satan tries to do is hold people back. You know, the evil influences out there try to hold us back from getting to the Lord. And one of the thoughts or things that come to people's minds sometimes is like, look, I'm not good enough. You know, I was just talking in our Bible class. We had in a Spanish Bible class, we had a person there that's here I think it was the second time here, and we were kind of just talking over topics regarding, you know, that we're going to deal with in 2024. And I said, well, are there any topics that you have, since you're not a regular person and things like that? And there are so many questions out there in this world, in this religious world. How do I put this? So many different doctrines, so many different teachings on so many different things. And so we were kind of discussing some of those, but probably one of the biggest ones for me that really disrupts Christendom is the different views of salvation itself. Like, to me, if the devil can stop you from getting in, you know, or gets you to kind of skirt around and go an alternate way in a different path than what God has laid out and all that, then he's got you captured. He's got you captured, right? You can't think about a race. If I didn't register for the race and get into that race, I can't get to the finish line and say, I won. No, you got to get registered first. And there are some that are running a race, but they haven't registered. They're running this race. And so we don't want that here. I want to preach the word of Almighty God. I'm not here to preach what this one teaches or what that one teaches or what anyone else teaches, not even what the Church of Christ teaches. That's not what I'm here to teach. I'm here to teach what the word teaches. And there is a difference. And so he said, she said, they said, no, what does God say? That's what I want to know. What does God say? What does his word say? And so for something as important as salvation, there should not be 10 different, 20 different, 30 different ways to be saved. We looked at this on last week and decided to keep it in for this one. See, outside of Christ, there's no blessings. Outside of Christ, there's no redemption. Outside of Christ, there's no forgiveness of sins. Outside of Christ, there is condemnation. Outside of Christ, you're still a sinful creature. Outside of Christ, there's no salvation. Outside of Christ, there's no eternal life in heaven. But in Christ, you have every spiritual blessing. In Christ, you have redemption. In Christ, you have the forgiveness of sins. In Christ, you have no condemnation. In Christ, you are a new creation. In Christ, you have this wonderful salvation. In Christ, you have eternal life. Look at all the blessings we have of being in Christ. But then the question is, well, how do I get those blessings? How do I get in Christ in order to receive all of these different blessings? Well, Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Romans 6:3, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were also baptized into his death? Maybe there's somebody here today and you're asking that same question, well, what do I need to do to get in Christ? You need to do the same thing they did. You need to do the same thing Galatians did, those in Galatia did, the churches of Galatia. You need to do the same thing that Paul was talking to the church at Rome and that he's telling us. If you want to get in Christ, you got to be baptized into Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, in Christ, you are a new creature. The old has passed, the new has come, and you begin to write this new chapter of your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you're ready to write this new chapter in Jesus Christ. You're ready to say, look, I'm done with the old. I'm done with what was. I'm embracing the new, and I'm embracing this new season, and I want to surrender to him. I want to live for him. I want to continue to grow with him. I want to continue to stay in him, because only in him will I be able to receive that reward that he talks about here, that upward calling heavenward in Christ Jesus. Put the Lord on in baptism to make Jesus yours. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation, All Things Are Ready.